Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally here with Sean Boyd for On the Double with the Double S Express. As the sports world is rolling, NBA Finals, the MLB is rolling, and goodness, Muhammad Ali, rest in peace.
Yes, Sean Wally, let's start out by sending our condolences to the Clay family. Of course, Muhammad Ali passing away, and what a great pioneer. Not just in athletics, Sean Wally, but in the, as we all know, in the public as well. As far, you know, Muhammad Ali put himself out there as far as a public figure, standing up for what he believed in. For one, he didn't believe in fighting a war that he didn't start. He believed in unity, and so. You know, he didn't dodge the draft, although at the time in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, it was perceived as him dodging, but he didn't run anywhere. He just said that he wasn't going to fight for against any Viet Cong because they didn't do anything against him. He wasn't going to fight against Vietnam. And he took that stance, and so much that, you know, it hurt his boxing career. 3 years off. Because of a suspension, and who knows what kind of a record he would have had as a professional boxer then, but because of the stance that he took, because of the political stance that he was taking for American equality, for all races, and, you know, against wars. You know what, Sean? He would have made a great president now that you think about it. yeah, you know, it is a sad, sad time, and our condolences as Muhammad Ali passes away at the age of 74.
You know, it's amazing how things get reported, and initially, it wasn't supposed to be that bad, and a day and a half later, he's gone.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, what it sounds like is there's, he died of they said that sepsis is the reason why he passed away. And for those of you that don't know about sepsis, it is a poisoning in the blood. So when organs start to break down, and meaning your kidneys, your liver, you know, those organs start to break down, it's because there's a poison in the blood. One of the things that the doctor said, though, Sean, is that even though his organs were breaking down, his heart was still, you know, ticking strongly. And so they thought that that was very amazing. And that's a testament to the person that Muhammad Ali was, you know, all heart and, you know, fight until the bitter end.
And Sean, what do you recall, if anything, did you actually see any of his fighting, or even thinking back to some of the boxing greats we've had on this show that remember Muhammad Ali? They all had great things to say about him.
Well, you know, my family has a strong boxing background, and, you know, my cousin Henry Clark, of course, you know, sparred with George Foreman and was a heavyweight boxer. I did get the chance to watch Muhammad Ali box growing up. I was very young at the time, but I remember, you know, him being my idol as far as, you know, man, he made boxing look inviting. I mean, and it's a violent sport. I mean, guys are getting their heads pounded in, but he made it look graceful. He made it look, you know, like something that, you know, you wanted to do. And he was a charismatic, very outgoing boxer. I think he wanted to make sure that people knew who he was, which he definitely did. And I remember a lot of his fights, the showmanship. You know, he was very quick with his feet, very quick with his hands. And it was something that we hadn't seen before. And so you match that with his charisma, and being outgoing and very outspoken, it made for a great spectacle to watch.
And the ironic thing is, boxing needs another Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, not only for his talent, but that charisma in and out of the ring to attract a new generation to the sport.
And Sean Wally, you hit it right on the head. What in the world happened to boxing? The heavyweight class as well. You know, I mean, it used to be that the heavyweight class was the jewel class. You wanted to watch the heavyweight bouts, and all the other weights were, you know, a prelude to that big fight. And so it has been a long, long time, and we can talk about many of the bad situations that are going on in boxing as far as, you know, the way it's corrupted itself, the way it's torn itself apart. There seems to be no cohesiveness, but yes, there needs to be someone. If you're a boxing fanatic, there needs to be someone to be able to come in and grab the reins and take over that sport.
Well, Sean, on a much more positive note, the NBA Finals are in full swing. Two games have been decided, and they were not even close. The Golden State Warriors holding serve at home, taking out LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I do believe you were a part of the broadcast crew.
Yeah, you know, it was so much fun, Sean, to be a part of the broadcast crew. Of course, games 1 and 2 at Roracle Arena in Oakland, California, and yours truly getting a chance to help produce the world feed. So there are 15 countries that have come from around the world, the likes of France, China, Japan, Spain, Mexico, Brazil, you name it, have all collapsed onto the NBA Finals, and it's been a great joy, Sean, to get a chance to see these different countries. Of course, this is my second year in doing so, and it's just been a blessing to actually be around that, but more importantly, see, you know, what we thought actually was going to be great basketball. It hasn't been just yet. I know that there's one team that's taken this serious, and that's the Golden State Warriors, being up 2-0 against the Eastern Conference Cleveland Cavaliers. Of course, game one, the Golden State Warriors won 104-89. And then game two, which was yesterday, the Golden State Warriors just ran the Cavaliers out of Oracle Arena, 110-77. These contests aren't close. And Sean, if I can give a couple of facts here, out of the last 7 playoff games that the Golden State Warriors and actually the last 2 years of playoffs, so last year and this year, the Cleveland Cavaliers haven't scored over 100 points. Not once against the Golden State Warriors, and the Golden State Warriors, including, if you include this season and the playoffs, the Golden State Warriors have won 7 straight games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. That, my friend, is utter dominance.
And if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, yes, you're a little bit perplexed and a little worried, as this is a rematch of last year's finals, and the Golden State Warriors won that series, and now they're up 2-0 in the best of 7. But Golden State did what they're supposed to do: hold serve, win at home. Now Cleveland has that same opportunity. If they can somehow find a way to beat the Warriors and hold serve in Cleveland, their home court, this will be a contest. Game 3, very important for LeBron James and the Cavaliers. They win, the series could go 6-7 games. They lose, drop 3-0, it's pretty much over.
Yeah, you know, and the big deal last year was that LeBron James took over the series early, as they took a 2-1 lead. Of course, they split in Oakland, and then, of course, when it shifted back to Cleveland, Cleveland won that game to go up 2-1, and everybody thought that LeBron James, that was his time, and the Cleveland Cavaliers were going to win the NBA Finals. Well, at the end result wound up that the Warriors won 4-2 in winning their the NBA Finals championship. But there was a caveat. There was an asterisk next to that championship. And here was the thing. Of course, We all know Stephen Curry being the MVP last year of the league. They had a chip on their shoulder because, you know, what people were saying was is that the only reason why the Golden State Warriors won was because Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love weren't playing in the finals. Now, if those two were playing in the finals, then, you know, it would be different. So the stage has been set all year. The Golden State Warriors break an NBA record in wins in the regular season. They win 73 games, Sean Wally. They go 73-9, breaking the record of the 1996 Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. Of course, Steve Kerr, who's the head coach of the Golden State Warriors, was on that team as well. They break that record, and there's still a lack of respect to the Golden State Warriors. They say that, you know, the Golden State Warriors are a little finesse, and once they play a team like LeBron James, and of course they're at full strength, then things are going to be different. Here's one of the things that everybody didn't figure out, Sean, is that the Golden State Warriors, of course, winning those 73 games, have been battle-tested all year in a strong Western Conference. They went through a tough Western Conference championship with the OKC Thunder. And by doing so, the Golden State Warriors have been waiting for this chance all year. So when all the prognosticators are saying, well, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been waiting for a chance and waiting for this chance, guess which player, Sean Wally, came out and said, you know what? We've been waiting for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and now is the time. That is Wazoo. That is none other than Washington State's Klay Thompson that came out and said, we've been waiting for them. And so it's showing right now that the Golden State Warriors have been chomping at the bit, and they're going to make an example out of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they're going to show everybody that last year wasn't a fluke, and they're doing it right now. And I picked five games, Sean. I picked that the Warriors would win 4-1 and winning in front of their home crowd at Roracle, but I don't know now. I believe that the Golden State Warriors are so focused that they are looking to embarrass LeBron James and company so bad that they are looking to sweep. Now, if the Cleveland Cavaliers do not win game three, Sean, they are in trouble. Because if the Golden State Warriors go up 3-0, they can pack it in, meaning the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a wrap. There is no way in the world that Steph Curry and company are going to allow Cleveland to have an ounce of breath. This is one of the best basketball teams, if you follow NBA basketball. And I apologize, Sean Wally, for taking all this time talking. And I'm sorry about talking about NBA basketball, because I know that it stings you guys up in the Pacific Northwest. But doggone it, you got to get on board and see what's going on, because this is the best basketball team, bar none, that any of you will ever see in a long while. And it's at the expense of King James. I've spoken. The Golden State Warriors, this is fun, man. This is fun, and I am enjoying watching it.
So is it safe to say that it was a better series in the Western Conference Finals than we will see in the NBA Finals, proving that the Western Conference is more dominant and the Oklahoma City Thunder, former Seattle Supersonics, are closer to being the best team in the league than the Cleveland Cavaliers?
You are exactly right. The Western Conference touted a stronger dominance over the NBA season. And yes, the OKC Thunder and the Golden State Warriors Western Conference championship was the championship. The East can't, these teams that LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers, played on their way to the title, was mere fool's gold. I mean, the Toronto Raptors are no match for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you're seeing what's happening to the Cavaliers from the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, the list goes on with the teams in the East. But yeah, what an amazing Western Conference Finals. I remember you texting me, and you're like, man, what in the world is going on, you know, with the Golden State Warriors? They're down 3-1. And to be honest with you, Sean, I couldn't tell you. You know, I didn't know who that was out there that was playing at the time. But You know, the true heart of a champion starts to come out. The Golden State Warriors started to figure it out. And, you know, they played it one game at a time. And let's not forget that, you know, this was, you know, you're talking about OKC, the former Sonics. Well, the Portland Trailblazers played the Golden State Warriors very tough the series before. And so you're talking about the West. I mean, it is loaded with talent, loaded with talent. And so, you know, Cleveland is just one of those teams that's in front of a buzzsaw right now, and the Golden State Warriors are that saw.
Not sure if you're aware, Sean, but there is another sport in full swing, the Midsummer Classic, the pastime of America that has been around for many, many generations. The Major League Baseball is what I'm talking about. The dog days of summer are upon us, as it is 104 where I am at in Tri-Cities, Washington. I know it's hot where you're at, hot all over parts of the country. Baseball in full swing. A lot of craziness up and down the standings in the major leagues.
Yeah, you know, the thing was, is when you and I last talked on our live on our show, the Seattle Mariners were you know, imposing their will and making strides in the AL West, and they're still doing a good job sitting at 31-25 in the AL West. But the Texas Rangers were right there, and they're about three or four games out at the time. And now that we turn around and we look at today, and of course the last series where the Mariners just got them with the series with the Texas Rangers, the Texas Rangers sweep the Seattle Mariners, and now they have a three-game lead, standing at 34-22 in the West. There's a lot of baseball left, but in between there, there's been a couple of injuries, and of course, one main one, Felix Hernandez, King Felix, Sean Wally, put on the IR. What does this do for the Seattle Mariners?
Well, it's been their first big bump in the road. They've lost not only King Felix dating back to May 28th, so he'll probably miss two, maybe three starts, but he hasn't been himself. Maybe that's wear and tear. Maybe that's this calf injury that put him on injured reserve. But on top of that, the Mariners were hit with the injury bug. Ketel Marte, their up-and-coming awesome shortstop, injured his thumb to where he was put on the DL. He thankfully comes back and is playing tonight, I do believe, or is eligible to be in the lineup. And then the center fielder that does everything, Leonis Martin, is on the disabled list with a hamstring issue, and he should be coming back in the next few days. And he's been a great cheerleader while the Mariners were on the road. He decided to go with them, didn't have to, and he's been doing good things as best he can, not in the lineup. But, you know, they really miss those two guys. That's a core of their lineup in not only the batting order, but great defenders, and they definitely miss those guys. And it was apparent on Sunday when the Mariners had that game up 2-0. Iwakuma pitching great in Texas, probably his best game of the year. And then errors started happening, and it was the fill-ins for the injured Marte and Martin that made those errors at shortstop and center field. So you just have to chalk that one up. The Mariners were tied with Texas for first on Friday, and as you said, getting swept. Now they're three games out of first place. But hey, there's a lot of baseball left. The Mariners start a nice homestand with great weather in Seattle, and the Texas Rangers come to Seattle later this week. So hopefully for Mariner fans, the M's can give them back a taste of their own medicine.
Yeah, and of course, the last game against the Texas Rangers, the Mariners lost 3-2. One of the things that concerns me about the Mariners, though, of course, you know, when they're playing well, they're playing well. But with this stint over the last seven games, we can go back. Of course, they beat the San Diego Padres in what seemed to be a laugher, a 16-4 win. And then the next night, they come back and play the very same team, and they give up 14 runs and lose 14-6. That following game after that, the Mariners found some way with magic pixie dust, because they were getting annihilated by the Padres, but somehow the Seattle Mariners came back and won 16-13, which looked like the Seahawks versus the Chargers. Now, what I'm getting at, Sean, is the Mariners are giving up quite a few runs. And if you're going to be a team that's touting themselves as one of the top teams, not just in the American League, but looking to vie for a World Series championship, this can't happen. Now, I know that we had talked about pitching with Felix Hernandez being on the IR and a couple other pitchers that have nicks and dings, but they have to show some depth and they have to show a little bit of leadership. Somebody has to step up here in order for these Mariners to right the ship and continue to move forward and win in the AL West.
Well, that first loss of the series down in San Diego, it was interesting because it was James Paxton being called up from Tacoma, starting pitcher, doing great things down in Tacoma. He's been with the Mariners before, and he's just had injury issues. He's a really good pitcher and has great command, and that was his first start in the majors in a good while, filling in for Felix. And he just did not have the command he had had in Tacoma with the Rainiers. Who knows if that was nerves, if it was mechanics, a combination of both. He did get rocked in that first game down in San Diego. And then you mentioned that game where the Mariners were down 12-2 in the fifth inning. And somehow they don't give up. You call it pixie dust. That was one of the greatest comebacks in Major League history. There was like a 99% chance that the Padres win that game. If only we could have been in Vegas and threw down $20 on the Mariners for that game. They score, I believe it was five runs in the sixth inning. The seventh inning, they come back with a nine spot, seven consecutive hits with two outs to take the lead, and they do end up winning 16-13. Just an amazing baseball game to watch and for the Mariners to be a part of.
And, you know, with that being said, you would think that that would be strong momentum for the Mariners going in to face the Texas Rangers and then, of course, losing 7-3, 10-4, and 3-2. And so, you know, these guys have a little bit of ways to go, but, you know, they are playing decent baseball right now. They're playing the Cleveland Indians. This should be an even matchup. Both teams are right around the same record. The Mariners, 31-25, the Cleveland Indians at 31-24. And right now, I believe the game should be just starting, or it might be in the top of the second. I believe it's 0-0 right now, but that should be a great contest or a great series, Sean Wally.
Absolutely, and it's a chance for the Mariners to get right after being swept in Texas and, you know, great weather in Seattle, hot record-setting weather, actually. And we'll see. We'll see if they can bounce back. And, you know, they're not panicking by any means. They're still right there in the thick of the hunt. And hopefully they can get right at the friendly confines of Safeco Field. So, Sean, we have a guest coming up. Why don't you tell everybody who that is here on the Double?
Well, we have none other than, and we love having this guest here on the show. Of course, it's none other than Chet Buchanan of KLUC Radio in Las Vegas, 98.5. And so when we come back from the break, we'll have Chet Buchanan on. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. this product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com. Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And let's go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Chet Buchanan from Las Vegas, host of Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo on KLUC 98.5 in Las Vegas. Chet, what's going on?
Nothing to it, man. Tell me about this holysmokes.com. I'm interested. What's that all about?
Hey, it's nuts, man, and we have to keep it PC on the show. So,
why? Why do we have to keep it PC? Is this not the internet? Can we not just do whatever we
exactly.
want?
Yeah, exactly,
Chet. You know, we can.
We have the reins. Yeah. And holysmokednuts.com, amazing smoked almonds in natural or what was the garlic chipotle, I believe, Sean?
Yeah, hey, you know what? I did like the chipotle nuts, by the way.
Dude, honestly, you should be sending me some just for being on the show. This is an outrage. I'm going to call my agent. What's going on here?
I definitely need to.
Man. Well, hey, Chet, so tell me what's going on down there in Vegas. There are a lot of things going on. One of them being that you might be getting an NFL football team. I mean, what's the sounds? What's going on? Because I can tell you from Northern California, we don't like it a bit. So,
of course you don't.
Wait to us. What's going on with the Raiders and possibly being Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, as a guy that was in Seattle when the Sonics left. I take no joy in this. I think a lot of people in Las Vegas are kind of treating it as a foregone conclusion. I think a lot of people think it's going to happen. My big question is, can we get a stadium built? They're looking for $750 million in public money. And like in a lot of places, people are really bristling at that. But it'll be interesting to see what goes on. The first thing that's going to drop is everybody is expecting in a couple of weeks, the NHL to announce that they'll be here. We expect that to happen on the 22nd when the NHL awards will be here. And then, and that's kind of the first step. And then we'll see what happens after that. Again, they've got to get a stadium built here. Mark Davis is making a lot of noise about the NFL coming, about the Raiders coming. And I can't help but wonder if that isn't just a little bit of a real strong power play to try and get a new stadium in Oakland.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it as far as the NHL possibly coming to Las Vegas. Of course, they already have the venue in place with the T-Mobile Center. And here's one of the things that I'm hearing about Vegas is that there is a lot of money, meaning public money, that the city council is willing to put forward to improving the convention center because they want to have one of the best convention centers around. So they're willing to do that, but not willing to put public funds towards an NFL franchise. Have you heard that?
That's a different thing altogether too, because there's the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority is already putting a lot of money. The what used to be the Riviera is about to be imploded in the next couple of weeks, and then that will so the convention center will go all the way from where it is now, which is really a block, and when by a block we're talking about a good sized block off the strip, and then it will come all the way up to the strip. To where the Riviera used to be, and so there, that's already in place. That's already happening. Like you said, T-Mobile's been open a couple of months. I finally got to work that stage last night for Miss USA, which was fantastic. It's an amazing facility. Again, it's hard. It's hard when a guy like Sheldon Adelson, and I understand. See, I'm a believer in public money. I am a believer in public money because I think a stadium does a community a lot of good. I think professional sports do communities a lot of good, and I think in Las Vegas it'll be great. An idiot like Shannon Sharp saying that, well, there's not enough disposable income and all that, that is somebody who has never lived here, you know, and they somehow think that we just all, you know, the people that do live in Las Vegas, they think that we all live in hotels and we all eat at buffets. And so that kind of ignorant statement coming from someone outside of this city is laughable. But it is hard. It is hard to go to a community and say we need $750 million when you've got guys like Sheldon Adelson who are worth billions. When you've got guys like Steve Wynn, who are worth billions, it is hard to ask a community who, by the way, has some of the worst schools in the nation by test results and graduation rates. It's hard to ask for that kind of money when you really could make a pretty good case for it to go somewhere else.
Now, Chet, you mentioned all the money that everybody has in the casino realm and the convention realm. Has anybody discussed pooling some of those billionaires and having them assist to get some of this money down to where the public won't have to pay so much?
Well, that's the thing. That's where a lot of it's coming from. That's why, and I say only, but that's why there's only $750 million coming from the community itself, from public money, from public funds, and I see, and I get it from the other side of that too, where some of the different business people and the Raiders and those kind of folks are all saying, hey, look, we're going to get this done, we're going to get a stadium done, we would just like to see the community help out a little bit, but you know, you get a lot of folks that are like, well, these billionaires and we're going to have to pay for tickets and parking and rah! And they get all excited. When the reality comes, like, great, put another dollar on a resort tax. I mean, what did we pay for Safeco and CenturyLink for in Seattle? I think we paid for it with cigarettes and liquor and downtown hotel rooms. People get worked up and they're like, well, we can have it go to other things and it could go to the homeless and all that. Well, if it was going to go to the homeless, you should have done that 10 years ago. You should have done that a long time ago. So I have a hard time with that argument, but I definitely do see both sides. I don't agree with both sides, but I definitely see both sides.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, is that people just think that aren't informed. They think it's taking from other things like education or the homeless or the roads, and that's not it at all.
Not generally, because you know, also they tried to do that where they were like, I think it was going to be an additional $75 property tax here a couple of years ago, and that was going to go to schools. And people lost their minds. They're like, I'm not going to pay that. Are you kidding me? You don't, I don't have kids. Why do I have to pay? It's like, well, then stop complaining. Then stop. I mean, and I get it. I don't want to pay more taxes either. I really do believe that these type of things do benefit communities. I think you do. And honestly, I think Las Vegas, I mean, we could end up playing Super Bowls here. We could end up, this could really be a showcase. I mean, there could be a major, you could be end up playing NCAA championships here. There are a lot of things that could happen if they build a stadium. And an NFL team, honestly, probably being the least of those things.
Chet Buchanan joining us here on The Double. And, you know, Chet, you are hitting some valid points, and I do believe that, you know, Vegas could be the mecca for professional sports. And I do believe that at some point the NFL will collapse on the city of Las Vegas. I just don't think that the NFL is ready for the Raiders to be that team. What do you think?
I don't think it matters. I'm curious why you would say that. Why don't you think the Raiders are, I mean, as opposed to anybody else?
You know, you're looking at an ownership that is very beleaguered in Mark Davis. He's not a savvy business person. I think that if it was any other team that had, you know, an ownership that knew or had an inkling of knowing what they were doing, that it would be easier for the owners to say yes to. But this would be a huge mistake if Las Vegas embraced the Raiders along with Mark Davis. Now, if he winds up selling the team, then that's a whole nother ballgame. But this guy is not wired to run a team.
Huh, that's interesting. Because, you know, and I mean, I look at it and I guess we all know how he got the team. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think Las Vegas would just be happy to have a team. And you know what? There's a huge Raider fan base here. Now, over the last few years, a lot of those became 49er fans, and they're switching back now. but you know, there's a big, this is a Raider town. It's a Raider town. It's a Charger town. I mean, really more than anything else. And so if the Raiders were to try and leave to go anywhere, this certainly makes as much sense as anything else.
And so one of the things that's going on now are talks between Roger Goodell and Libby Schaaf, who is the mayor of Oakland, along with a group, an investment group that is headed by Rodney Peete and Ronnie Lott. And so this has a little bit of momentum because Roger Goodell has involved himself as backing this. You know, I like you had mentioned earlier, I just think that this is a ploy by Mark Davis to get what he wants, and he has pretty much sold a bill of goods to the city of Las Vegas and the city council and the mayor, as the mayor asked him and said, tell me that you're not using us for this capacity, and he looks the city dead in the eye and lies. But you know, we'll see how this plays out because, you know, this is a team that you know, people want. Like you said, the Raiders have a strong following, a strong background around the country, and it would be a great place. I'm envisioning a domed stadium that would be perfect in Las Vegas, something that's so state-of-the-art that it just blows your mind away. And, you know, that would, you know, the way the Raider Nation is, of course, the fans here in Northern California would be upset for a little bit. But, hey, once a Raider, always a Raider. And I do. I think that it would be a great fit at some point.
Yeah, I'd like to see retractable roof myself because honestly, except for the summer when, I mean, even right now, it's like 110 right now. It's ridiculous. But the rest of the time, I think you'd want to play open air. There is some weather in the winter, and it does get chilly here in the winter. So I think that would be fun to let that kind of come into play a little bit. But again, I want to go back to the point that you made about Mark Davis playing the city of Las Vegas. I got to be honest with you. I think if they tell him they're building a stadium, then they're coming. Because I don't know anybody that's been to O.co and gone, man, I love this. I mean, I get it. Back in the old days of the kingdom, I mean, it was a dump, but that was our dump. And I get it. That's your spot, and you love it. But I mean, come on, man. That's if they get a chance. If they get a chance to move in Oakland, I do. Here's the other side of this. I don't see Oakland building a stadium. You can get Rodney Peete and Ronnie Lott and all that. That's cool. But unless they're gonna build a new stadium, what's the point? You can change ownership, but what's the point?
Yeah, I think that, and that's the difference. And so I think that Las Vegas is kind of left in the dark on what's going on. They have a strong investment group out with billionaire owners that are ready to put forth the money. And they've gone to the NFL and talked with Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell backed it so much that he called Mayor Libby Schaaf and said, listen, you need to sit down with these guys. And Libby Schaaf said, okay, so this is a legitimate offer. So now they're in talks. This is something that's not been happening in Las Vegas. Roger Goodell hasn't come in. He hasn't endorsed anything in Las Vegas. There's just been a lot of talk that's been going on, and the owners haven't really bought into it. So here's what we're looking at. We're looking at billionaires that are playing their billionaire game. We're looking at a Mark Davis who doesn't have a plug nickel to himself, and he's trying to attach himself to something. So what he's done is he's courting Las Vegas, and it's an engagement that he's proposed. But he still has a marriage back in Oakland, and he doesn't want to fix it. And so at some point, he's going to have to turn back around, and he's going to have to talk to the city of Oakland, whether he wants to sever those ties or whatever. He hasn't done so. And so until that process happens, it's just all talk about with Las Vegas, and you know, we'll see how this plays out moving forward. I happen to like the idea, either or, whether they're in Oakland or Las Vegas. Now, of course, my Raider Nation, for those of you who are listening, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flack from that because you know they want the team in Oakland. There is no other choice. But if push came to shove, I would like to. You know, I think Las Vegas would be a great alternative.
Yeah, I think if you got to put them anywhere else, I think Las Vegas is okay. What's really funny too is perspective and point of view. All this stuff you're talking about, Roger Goodell and the mayor of Oakland and all that, that's the first I've heard of it. because we don't hear that here. And you saying that all the owners aren't behind it? Oh no, the stories we get are the owners are all for it. The owners love it. Oscar Goodman, the former mayor, his wife is the mayor now. Oscar Goodman, the former mayor of Las Vegas, had the greatest idea 10 or 12 years ago. He said, we should build a stadium here, and the NFL should have Monday Night Football every Monday here. Have it be a neutral site, NFL Monday Night Football in Las Vegas.
And how cool would that be? Huge. Yeah, that would keep us from going to places like Mexico City and London. You know, you would have a cool venue in Las Vegas to where they have games all the time. That'd be perfect.
Dude, they're still going to do that, and that's the dumbest thing. I have no desire, you know, for the Mexico City Aztecs or the, you know, the London Knights or whatever. You know, I have no desire to see that. I don't care if the NFL is in, you know what I'd rather have? Instead of having an NFL team in Toronto, I'd rather that ESPN2 ran more CFL games. That's what I'd rather have happen. Let the NFL stay in America. Let the CFL, you know, be in Canada and let me be able to see it because I love that stuff. Three downs and guys running all over the place. And you know what? Let London keep soccer.
Welcome to Las Vegas Raider Talk with Chet, Sean, and Sean. Chet Buchanan joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Chet, my final question to deal with these Raiders. Do you still have somewhere collecting dust or in a box?
Here we go.
Your Raider haters.
Oh, my God.
You know I do. And I've got my Raider hater shirts and my Raider hater hat and my Bronco Buster from all that stuff from the old NFC West days. We didn't care about the Chargers back then because the Chargers sucked like we did. But I got the rest of that stuff I got.
I knew you would, my man.
Thank you, Brian Bosworth, for all of that, huh?
Hey, slow down, man. We don't like to talk about that. I don't have to bring up some of the dark days of the Raider years. Or we could just talk about the Niners, how they are now. Pop your head up and get back down. It was just like whack-a-mole with the Niners. Just pop up for 1 second and get right back down. See you later.
We can agree on that, definitely. Yeah, man. My goodness, the Niners. What in the heck happened there?
They didn't manage it. They got successful and they didn't manage it. And whatever was going on between Balky and Harbaugh, the general manager and the coach, they made their choice, and I think they're paying for that. It's the one secret to, it's the secret to the Patriots. It's the secret to the Seahawks. I think Denver is seeing this, where there's a synergy between the front office and the coaching staff, and you have to have that. The Niners did not have that, and they're paying for it.
Yeah, they're definitely paying for it. I mean, Trent Baalke is, I know that he's very good at bringing in talent, but Jed York is, I talked about Mark Davis. Man, the Bay Area in general, as far as the NFL owners are concerned, is just horrific. I don't know any other way to say it.
Well, I guess as far as football goes right now, but I mean, you've got great organizations in baseball. Obviously, the Warriors are on top of their game, and doesn't that look like that's going to turn into a sweep right now? And not to change the subject, but my God, doesn't what the Warriors are doing to the Cavaliers right now let you know and understand, this is hard for me to say because I'm a Seattle kid, but doesn't that just let you know how good Oklahoma City was? And how Oklahoma City is one shooter away from being a really, really tough team.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's definitely tough, Chet. I know for myself, probably you as a Seattle Supersonic fan, that is the former Sonics, meaning Oklahoma City, and Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook and company should still be playing in Key Arena or Sonics Arena or wherever.
Yeah, no. I mean, and as far as that goes, and I know you were talking about keeping it nice and everything, but I honestly said this on my radio show, which is on, like terrestrial radio in Las Vegas. So, I'll say it again. F OKC forever. I mean, F them forever. I rooted so hard against them, but I am also, adult enough to be able to look at that and go, wow, what a really good team. And I thought the Cavs, wow, man, the Warriors, it appears maybe their powers were a little diminished. Maybe the league's kind of figured them out a little bit. And they are just schooling the Cavaliers right now. And I thought the Cavs with Kyrie and Kevin Love, complimenting LeBron James, I thought, okay, this is going to be a series. And, last night was ugly, and I'm glad I didn't get to see it. I thought you guys were calling me to talk about me cuddling up with Ashley Graham. I thought you guys were calling to ask me how many times Julianne Hough gave me a hug.
We're getting there, Chet. We're getting there. Save the good stuff at the end. Now, Chet, along the lines of the NBA, I know you keep tabs on everything Seattle. Of course, in the last 5-6 weeks, the Seattle City Council, I don't even know what to say. Of course, the vacation of Occidental Street failed, so therefore the Seattle Arena or Sonics Arena is pretty much almost dead in the water, in flux. What's your take?
It's a joke. It's a joke. And Seattle, the city of Seattle, the metropolitan area of Seattle, I love. The city of Seattle and the Seattle City Council government is a joke. City leadership is a joke. It is man, I don't want to get into politics here, so I'm just not going to. But let's just talk about just how it pertains to this situation. And I just don't understand how this happened. I spent some time what's the name of the place down there? Henry's, which is right down by Safeco Field. It's a block away from Safeco Field. And the street in question is behind Henry's. And so I stood out there just to watch traffic. And I think we've also seen the traffic cameras that were set up so you could evaluate how many people were driving the street. I stood out there for 15 minutes. I know, creepy. weird guy. I get it. I wasn't even out there, like, smoking or anything. I didn't have an excuse. I'm just standing there. I saw three cars go down that street, maybe. I mean, it's just the idea that, oh, this is vital, and the port, there's something deeper to this than the port just worrying about them not being able to do their business. There's something that's fishy about this whole deal. But the idea that this we can't vacate the street. No, we can't do that. It's a joke. There's something going on.
Yeah, I agree, Chet. And you know, we're definitely spiraling down an area that it would really depress us if we continue to talk about it. I truly believe that a team needs to be in Seattle like quick, fast, and in a hurry. And you know, I'm hearing things that Nate McMillan, of course, is backing, having a team, and they believe that there will be a team back in Seattle soon. But if the city council doesn't get it right, and this is the second time that this has happened, of course, the first time they allowed the team to go to OKC for a bill of goods and, you know, didn't ask the city for the city's approval at all. And here again, we're looking at, you know, a simple vote over a street that you're saying only has three cars going up and down it. It stinks to high heaven.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really has an interest in Tukwila, which is just south Seattle, which you know is on the southern border of the city of Seattle, and there's been talk about putting an arena there. So I'm also a guy who just moves forward. I'm not a guy who dwells on what's already happened. So okay, fine. What's the next step? And if I want to call it. Is it Chris Hansen? He's the guy from Dateline. I know, but is it Chris Hansen? Is that his name?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Chris Hansen wants to build a stadium so badly. Chris Hansen will build a stadium somewhere. Now you can't put it in Tacoma and think that's going to fly because that's about 30 miles south. And I know it makes sense that I'm sure to a lot of people they're like, well, why couldn't you? I'm just telling you that's not going to work. You can't put it in Everett. It's 30 miles north. That's not going to fly. So you still have to have it somewhere in Seattle proper, as it were. But you could put it in Bellevue. You could put it in Tukwila. There are a number of different places in the Seattle metro that you could put that arena. So if Chris Hansen really wants to build an arena, then let's find him another spot and let him build an arena.
Yeah, you know, I think so also. Part of the reason is Chris Hansen is in Chris Hansen's way. He's put all his eggs into one basket, which was that property near Safeco and the Clink. And he didn't want any other outside interference as far as, you know, proposals to a Tukwila or a Bellevue. Maybe he'll change that here soon now that he knows the outcome in that area. But we'll see, and only time will tell. But, gosh, man, it's long overdue. The Sonics need to be in Seattle. And, you know, OKC needs to stop piggybacking on some of these records, the records that Seattle has.
Oh, yeah, you know what? That was the other thing. I didn't want them to make the finals. Because when they made the finals, what was that, 2 years ago? And they were talking about the franchise and talking about Seattle stuff. No, screw you. You went to Oklahoma City. You changed the name. You're brand new. You're not Seattle. You don't get to claim downtown Freddie Brown. You don't get to claim Jack Sigma. You don't get to claim Lenny Wilkins. And I hate to be that guy. And I don't cling to the mid-90s. You don't get to claim Sean Kemp and Gary Payton and Nate McMillan and Stuart Carl and all that. But I'm not a guy that clings to that stuff and goes, well, we deserve to be champions. But I am the guy that says, hey, look, you got that team now, Oklahoma City, and you want that to be your team. Well, then that's your team. And then so it all starts new. In fact, it was great to have Kevin Durant his rookie season, but he's not ours. He's theirs, you know? So go ahead, do your thing. Happy for you, Kev. You do you. But you're That's in the past. It's gone. We'll start fresh.
Chet Buchanan with us here on the Double, host of Chet Buchanan in the Morning Zoo on 98.5 KLUC in Las Vegas. Chet, you have got to be one of the busiest guys in Las Vegas, as you mentioned, hosting Miss USA at T-Mobile Arena. What was that like? How is the arena? And I got to say, the Globetrotters beat you there.
Yeah, that's the trivia question. What was the first sporting event in T-Mobile? And it was the Globetrotters. And it's just a beautiful facility. I'm an arena and stadium dork. And T-Mobile is awesome. And I was going through there looking for things, you know, looking for something to just go, oh God, why did they go short on that? And I haven't found that thing yet. And there are a lot of really great arenas right now. But this is T-Mobile. They really did it right. If you come down, score yourself some sort of VIP access so that you can go up to Hyde Nightclub. There's a club up in the top of T-Mobile Arena with views down onto whatever event is happening. And it's I've never seen anything like it. And again, I'm a stadium and arena dork. And I will tell you, Cowboy Stadium, kinda like that as far as the VIP part of it goes. No, T-Mobile was great, and it was such an honor and such a privilege to be on stage again for Miss USA. It was a really, really good show. I don't really have a hand in that. My job is just to keep everybody happy and keep it all moving, keep everybody laughing, and just what a really great night. Julianne Hough and Terrence J smoked it as hosts, and Terrence was fired up. And it was so funny. And Julianne, just early on, I started, you know, just, oh my God, look at what she's wearing, and look at her. And she kept hugging me. And I'm like, what's happening right now? Girls like you don't hug guys like me. And Ashley Graham, that was actually her first time speaking in front of a camera last night. And she did a great job. And they were all just great people. I think DC was the right choice. Although California could have easily won, and I don't know if you know the backstory of that. Miss California, Nadia Mejia, her father is Gerardo from Rico Suave days.
Yes.
And he was sweating it, and I think we all thought that she was going to win the title, but she got to the question, and they asked her about income inequality in the United States, and she kind of stumbled and kind of fumbled around, and honestly, I think it lost it for her. And Gerardo was not pleased afterwards. I talked to him for a couple of minutes afterwards because we go back that far. In fact, we were having a good laugh over how he and I had to dive into a random car as we got chased out of Tacoma Mall back in the day. So he was like, "Oh my God, that was you! What happened to your hair?" And I'm like, "Shut up! What happened to yours?" But you know, he was questioning the question. But quite frankly, you have to know that questions like that are coming. And she just wasn't ready, and she froze. So that's what happens. But Miss DC, Deshauna is just going to be amazing. Deshauna Barber is U.S. Army Reserve. She's going to take some time off from that to be Miss USA, and she's going to be she's just going to be great. I really think she's going to go out and actually affect some change, which is pretty cool.
Getting hugs from Julianne Hough, and of course Ashley Graham as well. Chep Buchanan, you are the man, and I must say, I know it's a couple hours away, but happy early birthday. It is your birthday tomorrow. Enjoy it. Have a great one. Thank you so much for your extended time tonight. Love having you on the show. Love to do it again soon.
Guys, I always love it. You know I'll never tell you no.
Man, thank you, Chet. We know that, man. You're always welcome here on The Double.
Well, I'm always proud of you guys. You're killing it. So thank you for having me. It's truly an honor. I appreciate it.
Chet Buchanan, you can follow him on Twitter at Chet Buchanan, and also his Morning Zoo at Morning Zoo 985 KLUC 98.5 in Las Vegas. Sean Boyd, Chet Buchanan, amazing guy. He's reading to the kids at Wet n Wild in Las Vegas. He's hosting at the Miss Universe event, what is he not doing in Las Vegas?
Man, well, of course, Chet doing everything. And of course, you know, the Miss USA pageant, that has to be right at the top of the list. And of course, as Chet mentioned, Deshauna Barber being the winner, 26 years old. I believe she's a U.S. Army Reserve. She's in U.S. Army Reserve. Actually, Sean, she killed it with the question last night and with her strongest answer about women in combat. And the way she answered it, I mean, that definitely put her over the top. And you know, it was, I'm sure, you know, Chet is just on cloud nine. We talked about, you know, Ashley and Julian being around there. But Terrence, if Chet was on, I would love to ask him the question about being with Terrence. Of course, Terrence being the host of Dunk Kings on TNT, man. That I don't know if you had a chance to watch that, Sean. That was interesting. You know, it's a dunk contest. These guys went through the rounds. They did it after the end of each of the TNT games that were broadcast. And, you know, I didn't think that it would be great because if you've seen one dunk contest, you've seen them all. But this was actually good, and I really liked Terrence as the host. You know, he brought a little bit of flavor, and I'm sure, you know, being at the pageant, you know, he did an awesome job as well. But hats off to our buddy Chet, doing some great things, and continued success to him.
Well, rumor is Chet Buchanan's still on the line. Chet, are you there?
Y'all didn't hang up on me yet. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, well, I'm still here.
You know, Chet, I got to say the engineers are a little too busy to hang up on you, or maybe they just don't want to push the hang-up button on the infamous Chet Buchanan.
Questions out there, Chet. How was it working with Terrence?
He's the best. I was so excited to see him, and it's funny that you were mentioned in Dunk Kings because that's what we were talking about. I was just like, man, I'm so proud of you. I know your hustle, you know, and I saw you doing Dunk Kings, and he's doing some other, you know, dating reality show, whatever thing. And it was funny because he looked at me and he goes, man, I'm so pumped for this. He goes, this is the biggest gig I've ever done. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, this is the biggest gig I've ever done. I'm like, man, you're on E! News every day. You're doing all this other stuff. You've acted in movies and whatnot. And he's like, I'm fired up. And he goes, I'm the next one. And they did a bit. There was a package leading into the show that he did where Steve Harvey kind of handed off the torch and was like, here's what you need to look for. You know, don't screw it up. Read the right name. You know, the obligatory joke. And he goes, yeah, you know, we're making fun of that. But he goes, it's serious. He goes, I'm the guy that they're going to be looking at now to see if I screw it up too. He goes, this is all real serious. He did a great job. And again, he was awesome. Julianne was awesome. And Ashley, for her first time out, just great. But Terrence is a great dude.
Well, Chet, last thing for you. We haven't touched on, and it's hard to believe it's been over 30 minutes. We have not touched on the Mariners season and your thoughts. Real quick, what do you think?
I was certainly disappointed. I think like a lot of fans were at this last road trip, although in the midst of a 1-4 road trip, you have the biggest comeback in Mariner history. And I think I was like a lot of other people where I just kind of turned it on and it was 12-7. And I'm thinking, well, that's better than we were. It was 12-2 earlier. Okay. And so I just kind of hung around for a while. Then they strung, what was it, 7 hits together. And you just knew watching that game that it was all going to come around. Texas is going to be tough for us this year, but this is certainly a different Mariner team than what we've seen in years past. And it's great to have a healthy Robinson Cano because he's the guy that sets it off. And then when you get the contributions of guys like Marte, hopefully he'll come back soon from injury, and we're losing Martin for a couple of weeks. But you get those guys there that they're also making those contributions. Aoki's been great at the first part of the year. Seager's been Seager, which is good. And Boomstick's been Boomstick. So, you know, when you get those extra guys and a healthy Robinson Cano, it's not surprising that this team is doing well, but it's certainly different than what we've seen. You know, you'd see them go down a run and you'd think, well, that's that. And now you, now they go down a run and you go, okay, who's going to be the hero tonight? And that, and that's fun. It's fun to be, it's fun to be a Mariner fan this year.
Chip Buchanan, thank you so much for extended time tonight. Be sure to listen to Chet 98.5 in Las Vegas or the radio.com app. Thanks, Chet.
Right on. Thanks, fellas.
It was great having Chet Buchanan. There goes Chet Buchanan of 98.5 KLUC in Las Vegas. Man, Sean Wally, it has been a great show. Of course, having Chet on and getting a chance to talk about, man, a whole bunch of stuff. We talked about the NFL possibly in Vegas. We talked about the NHL possibly in Vegas. We touched a little bit on the Miss USA pageant. And, of course, we got a chance to do what you guys like to do best, and that's talking about Pacific Northwest professional sports, man. So it's been a great show.
Well, Sean, real quick before we go, this next Monday there will be no show because I will be in Seattle working for CBS, most likely at the Renton headquarters of your Seattle Seahawks, doing something I think you might have an idea what I'll be doing, as you did it recently with CBS and the San Francisco 49ers.
That's right, man. That's right. Of course, you'll be doing the photo shoot for CBS. And, of course, for those of you who are just fanatic Seattle Seahawks fans, Sean Wally will be making sure that your NFL, your favorite NFL player looks right into the camera and says their name and tells you where they're from and what they do. And so this is the CBS photo shoot. Man, you're going to have a lot of fun, to be honest with you. You're going to get a chance to meet some rookies. You get a chance to talk with some of the veterans as well. And, of course, Steve Murphy going to be up there. And, of course, Murph is an awesome guy, and he'll definitely take care of you, man. So you're going to have some fun.
Definitely looking forward to it next Monday, getting to rub elbows with a lot of the Seattle Seahawks at Renton HQ.
Yeah, what a way to kick things off. Of course, OTAs are in full swing here. And you'll get a chance to see some of these new players and, you know, before everybody else does. And you'll get a chance to make your prognostication, of, which I know already how you see the Seattle Seahawks finishing at the end of the year. But again, you'll get a chance to meet your favorite players. So that should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it for sure. And Sean, I know you are looking forward to possibly hoping that King James can get a game or two in Cleveland so the NBA Finals return to the Bay Area so you and Devon Boyd get another day or two of work.
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, we've been having so much fun getting a chance to work. You know, of course, Devon's job is a lot better than – actually, I shouldn't even say that because, you know, I'm doing the world feed, man. That is awesome to get a chance to talk with the different countries and be around the different countries. But Devon's doing some IT work and – you know, he's having a lot of fun and learning some things as well. And so, you know, I'm hoping that maybe King James and those guys can pull one out here in game three so that it comes back to Golden State and we can end it in fine fashion at home. But either way, Sean, I think, you know, if the Warriors win the next two, I won't be upset at them. They're just taking money out of my pocket. You know, that's okay. Did I just say that? I did just say that. I can't believe that. No, I want them to come back, Sean, so that I can make some more money. That's right. Man, so we're pulling out all the stops here. And before we leave, just to give you an update, of course, the Houston Astros give up a run in the ninth. So it's 5-5, the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros, just to give you an update there. And of course, the Seattle Mariners in the top of the fourth, leading the Cleveland Indians 1-0. Robbie Cano doing some things, of course. And so, you know, we're just giving you those updates there. But that's going to do it here on the double. Like we always say on the double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. Unless you take that shot, or when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production.
Get to work.
For Doug Newsom in Paradise, California, Sean Wally up in the Tri-Cities, and yours truly here in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California, you have been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.